Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and to know your voice. May we be filled and satisfied with you, the bread of life, and generously share our abundance with those who are in need. Amen. Please be seated. So, good morning. I wish you well. I wish you enough. I wish you enough. A phrase that some people use when they're leaving each other's company to wish them enough. Has anybody ever said that to you? Or is that a phrase that you've ever used with someone? You might want to practice that this week. It's another expression of how you feel about people and that they have enough. Hold on to those thoughts for a little bit. I want to do a little reflection from last Sunday's readings and kind of quiz you and see if you remember those. We had a reading last week from the second book of Kings, and we had a man who was bringing the first fruits of his harvest to set before the king. And he brought 20 loaves of barley and sacks of fresh ears of grain. And Elisha handed them off to a servant and said, "Give these to the people to eat." And the servant questioned Elisha's command and said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" But Elisha again insisted to give it to the people and let them eat. For the Lord had said, "They shall eat and have some left." And do you remember what happened? Yes, they ate and there was some left. Enough. And then the gospel we had last week from John, it was his version of the feeding of the 5,000 with the 5 loaves of barley and the 2 fish. The people ate and they were filled. And there were leftovers, 12 baskets full. Incredible. Enough. In fact, abundance, as Provost Kathy pointed out in her sermon. But we do quickly forget, don't we, that God is always going to provide. In the reading today we have from Exodus, we find the Israelites traveling into the wilderness. It's been about 6 weeks since they were freed from the grip of Pharaoh in Egypt, and they were starting to get very tired and very hungry. They felt they didn't have enough. They were looking for food they craved, but not the food that's essential for survival. They were grumbling for their greed, not their need. They had already forgotten how God had provided for their release from the slavery of Pharaoh. And they had forgotten about that phenomenal parting of the Red Sea so that they could cross over to safety. And just a few days earlier, God provided for them 12 springs of water and 70 date trees that they would have water for themselves and for their cattle, and they would have dates to eat. They had forgotten about that already. They craved more, and they demanded more. And God, in spite of them and all their whining, is gracious and generous, showing them that God will always provide and satisfy their cravings. God heard their cry and responded abundantly. And as we read today in Psalm 78, if you want to follow along with me on page 2, it says, "So God commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. God rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them grain from heaven. So mortals ate the bread of angels. God provided them food enough. God caused the east wind to blow in the heavens and let out the south wind by God's might. God rained down flesh upon them like dust and winged birds like the sand of the sea. God let it fall in their midst of the camp and around about their dwellings. So they ate and were filled, for God gave them what they craved. So for a few minutes, let's place ourselves in the midst of the gospel we have from John today. It's the very next day after Jesus fed the 5,000. I'm sure most of them were the same crowd from the day earlier. They scouted him out. They were craving more from this new prophet, this great healer. Were they craving more food, more bread and fish? Or were they craving something more? I'm sure many had hungry bellies, and they were ready for a material meal. Some may have panicked that they had already missed the breakfast meal. Many were probably hoping that Jesus would perform another miracle, perhaps greater than what they perceived Moses had done by providing food for the Israelites every day for 40 years. But Jesus knew their souls were starved and famished. The banquet he came to provide was a feast to satisfy their wanting souls, to give them food for eternity. The food they needed was the food provided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in the last verse of John's gospel today, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And earlier in the passage, Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Jesus intended to free these followers, to rescue them and us from the emptiness of life. Stop obsessing on the material, he is stressing. Focus on things above, things eternal. You know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we recite, "Give us this day our daily bread," faithfully knowing full well that God will provide for us all that we need to sustain our lives this day, the food and the drink that will sustain us and give our physical bodies the strength to go on, so that we can feed and nourish our souls. Now, with some exceptions, most of us are pretty well nourished. I know that I am. So I'm not going to focus on any physical food today. I want to talk about food for the soul in the next couple minutes. Is your soul hungry today? Was your soul hungry yesterday? Will it be satisfied tomorrow? Or a week from now, or a month from now? Are you able to keep your soul well nourished? What might your soul be craving? Spiritual hunger is a hunger within us that nothing physical can ever fill. Spiritual hunger is a hunger that nothing physical can ever fill. It's a longing to be connected with our Creator. Well, you came to church this morning, and I'm thinking you want to get some nourishment for your soul today. And hopefully it will sustain you till next Sunday. Feasting on the Word of God greatly nourishes our souls. Being in community and prayer together feeds our souls well, also. And then the Eucharist, which we'll partake of in a few minutes, the body and blood of our Lord, is the ultimate nourishment for our souls, right? The living bread come down from heaven, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. We should be completely satisfied, right? This should be enough, right? There should be no more that we crave, should there? Well, I know for me that prayer with God, reflection on God's holy word, and receiving the body of Christ is very satisfying and nourishing to my spiritual well-being. It's essential for my being. But honestly, I'm a big guy, and I do crave more. I find myself wanting to do more and more to strengthen my spiritual being. I want to be in the midst of doing the will of the Father, as Jesus has asked us to do. It truly isn't enough for me to just come to church, pray a little, reflect on God's word, and receive the Lord in the presence of the bread and wine. Our human nature craves more. The hunger of the body is painful, but the hunger of the soul is far worse. The hunger of the body is painful, but the hunger of the soul is far worse. So what could that more be that will fully nourish our souls? What is it that could sustain us, preserve our hope, strengthen us through the daily trials, help us conquer sin, fill us up for the everyday fight for faith? Glad you asked. Outside of church, certainly making time each day for prayer and to study and to reflect on the Word of God is a tried and true way to nourish your soul every day. The way to enjoy more of God is to live like God and live in God, just as Jesus has taught us. But there is more. In chapter 4 of John's Gospel, Jesus is saying, "My food is to do the will of God who sent me and to finish God's work." Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. My food is to do the will of God who sent me. Some of you may be familiar with Henri Nouwen, a 20th century Dutch priest. He's a professor and a theologian and a writer. He taught at Notre Dame and the divinity schools of Yale and Harvard. And later in his life, he was in Ontario, Canada, at L'Arche, helping young adults, young people, with their intellectual and developmental disabilities. Nouwen has said, "Whenever we come together around the table, take bread, bless it, break it, and give it to one another, saying, 'The body of Christ,' we know that Jesus is among us. He is among us not as a vague memory of a person who lived long ago, but as a real life-giving presence that transforms us. By eating the body of Christ, we become the living Christ and are enabled to discover our own chosenness, our own blessedness, acknowledging our own brokenness, and trust that all we live for others. Thus we, like Jesus himself, become food for the world." So do you recall what we recite just before we receive Holy Communion? The priest says, "Behold what you are." And our response is, "May we become what we receive." So I'm asking you today to become food for the world, just as Jesus was and is. Just enough food for your own needs. and then food for everyone else in the world. Take the next step to nourish your soul through becoming food for the world. The Spirit's work within us always produces a longing for Jesus, as well as a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Here I am, Lord, send me. We frequently recall from the prophet Isaiah. Let us stop focusing on our own needs and our own wants and our own cravings. Our faith in Jesus tells us that those worries will always be taken care of. Start thinking about all we've been given, all we have, all the abundance we might be stockpiling. Remember the Israelites, and when they gathered more than what they needed for just today, their gatherings all rotted and smelled to high heaven. Start sharing. Start giving away. No hoarding. There is a desperately hungry world out there, starving for material food, yes, but oh, so much more. A world starving for mercy and justice and love. Starving for a smile or an acknowledgement of their human existence. Starving for a hello, a warm embrace. Starving for unconditional love. There are sisters and brothers whose very beings are famished for fairness and justice and acceptance. Famished for an opportunity to prove their worth and to share their skills and to give their love. Let our souls be fully fed by feeding the needs and the cravings of others. Let us start where we are and do everything from our hearts and through the love of Christ. With 7 billion people in the world, I can promise you there's a few that could certainly benefit by your involvement in their lives. Maybe it starts with a phone call to a former friend that you hold a grudge against, or making a caring visit to an elderly neighbor in the nursing home. Could be a pen pal letter or a visit to someone who's incarcerated, or being part of our prayer ministry here at the cathedral. Perhaps it's offering employment to someone who might have a questionable past. Or it could be just a smile, a handshake, and a prayer with the beggar on the corner. You could become active in one of our outreach ministries here at the cathedral. Or you could step up to serve on chapter next year. Here I am, Lord, send me. Maybe it's helping a single mom with the financial burden of getting her 2 kids ready for a new school year. Or voting in this coming Tuesday's election. Or contacting your elected officials and making sure they're held accountable for doing the right thing. Speaking up and out for the marginalized and the oppressed. Seeking justice for all men and women. This list could be endless. But no matter how you respond to feeding your soul, remember that life is fleeting and we have but little time to be for others. Respond now. Connect and be present with a few or with many who are in need. Feed your soul and feed each other's souls at the same time. Be enough for you and be enough for someone else. I wish you enough. Amen.